And now I have the pleasure of bringing on Chris Champlin and Ashton Wolfson. They are the team behind the C&W Group LLC. You guys are private investigators, am I right?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, Chris. I got Chris on the show. Well, give us an overview of the company.
Well, you know, I've been doing investigations for a long time. My career started in the military. You know, we talked earlier, a family of entrepreneurs. My background is actually public service, from the military through law enforcement. And it wasn't until I left law enforcement that I got into insurance. I was a broker, actually. Mm-hmm. I became an insurance broker, and I realized there was an opportunity in there for all of these worlds to kind of come together. And it came together as an insurance investigator.
Aha.
And so for 15 years, I always worked for these big companies. And I saw all the money I was bringing in as a salesperson. Because if you think about it, as a cop, what are you really trying to do besides get the bad guys off the street?
Put bad guys in jail.
It's a sales. You have to sell them with that idea.
Okay.
You know, I have to sell the idea that I'm going to put handcuffs on
them. Most cops aren't like that, though, right?
No,
they're usually not salesy.
You have to spin it.
Or at least what I've seen.
You know, you apologize. Sorry, you know, I have to take you to jail today.
Okay.
You broke the law.
It's a lot easier. They don't fight back as hard that way.
They don't. And, well, it's a respect thing, too. I think most of the cops out there realize if you're respectful to the criminals, they'll respect you back. And I learned that a lot. But, you know, Ashton and I, my business partner, he's the W of the C&W.
Okay.
We grew up together. We've been friends for over 45 years now?
It's about 45 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys aren't even 45 years old. Wait a minute now. Come
well,
on.
It's my birthday.
That was like,
Thursday,
were you guys
so
like in nursery school together?
Well, that's what I was going to say. We were more, not that we're really old, we have just known each other since we were
three.
Very young.
I think
so,
I was about three.
Three, I was about
You were
five.
About five.
Yeah, we grew up across the street from each other.
Yeah.
So, Ashton, so you got Chris. He's got this background, law enforcement, insurance. He's got this entrepreneurial idea. How did you two start talking about getting together again?
I was kind of the serial entrepreneur out of both of us, and I had always, throughout my whole life, I've always kind of had my own different ventures. And ironically, Chris and I crossed paths when I have another company that's in the workers' comp business. So our businesses kind of overlapped with each other. So one day we were kind of batting ideas around of what would be a really interesting business, and Chris was ready to make some changes. So we came up with this idea of doing backgrounds for workers' compensation.
Okay.
We realized, at least I did, so I did what's called SIU, Special Investigations Unit, and it relies in insurance that a person has to lie, but in order to lie, you have to ask the question. And the problem that I saw was nobody was asking these questions, like, which Social Security number do you want to use today? Or have you ever been married before, and what other names have you used? And they sound really silly topics, but when you're dealing with insurance crimes, not necessarily in workers' comp, but general liability or anything like that, if you want to get records and you have somebody that just went through a gender reclassification and you're looking for records for Bill Smith when Bill used to be Suzanne Smith, it's going to make a big difference on how you find that information. And so the adjusters, the claims person, the employers need to ask these questions at the beginning of a new claim to get the answers that they need to take it down the road.
Well, let's talk about your business.
Yeah.
Maybe you can share with us, when do you come in? If I'm an employer, I've got some employees, when do we bring in somebody like C&W?
So what we call one of our products is called the Early Detection Background Report, EDR. And it needs to be done right at the beginning of the claim. Because
at the beginning of the claim, after the injury or whatever happened.
Once the claim has been filed.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Once it's been filed or you get a notice of representation from an attorney for slip and fall. If somebody comes to your building and falls, they're probably not going to file a claim for a year. But as soon as you get that, you need to secure all this information. In the world of social media now, you want to preserve that evidence. Think about you and I growing up, all of us here in this room, when we were growing up, except for your board operator back there, if they
Brian,
had Brian, except for Brian, who's 16, sorry, Brian, if there was Facebook back then, imagine a Facebook today. I mean, if we had Facebook when we were kids and all of the shenanigans that we used to do were posted, we could never get a job
anything.
Yeah. So let's preserve that data now so that you might, a year from now, we just did a case for a client. And the gentleman's wife loved to post pictures of him fishing all over the world. 98% permanently disabled back claim. He claims he can't get back to work. But we took a year worth of social media, showed it to his doctor, and the doctor said there's nothing wrong with him.
Okay.
That's when we get involved. We preserve the data, preserve the information early, so that now, a year from now, 3 months from now, that week, you can do something with it.
Yeah. So thinking about this business, so you started off with one client, and you know, what happened like at the very beginning of building this business? Maybe Ashton, maybe you can share with us. You got together, you've got this vision of building a business.
What happened was is that Chris and I were batting around the idea of
it
took a while, and we had been batting around several ideas, and there was a reoccurring theme that kept occurring that If we would have known then what we know now, because usually as these claims progress, we find out there's all this stuff going on that if they would have just checked in the beginning, there would have been, you know, this could have all been, the claim could have been mitigated. So we came up with this idea. We didn't know if it was going to work. It seemed kind of interesting. Chris had some contacts in the industry, and he started sharing this idea with some of his clients that he had worked with, and they thought, okay, we'll give it a shot. We didn't know if it was going to
be. Did you know it was going to be workers' comp investigation from day one?
Yes.
Okay, you knew the focus was workers' comp.
That's kind of where our connections
were. Why is that such a big challenge today, right? We know as employers, our workers' comp rates are high, but really, I mean, how many of these, what percentage of a claim do you find is actually somebody trying to mislead their employer or mislead the doctor or the insurance company?
You know, it depends on what your definition is, because there's a very small percent that's actually fraud.
Okay.
But when we run a report and we see multiple names, multiple social security numbers, multiple addresses that are all concurrent, those all make a difference in the adjusting of the claim. So if I need medical records, I need to know all the names they've used. If I want to do surveillance, I need all the addresses that they've lived at. Or is it a mailbox drop? Because these days, I can have a UPS store. I could be using your address here, your location, but I don't actually live here, you see?
Okay.
So I need to know that before I send an investigator to go out there and follow somebody around, because you're going to get 4 hours of film of a UPS store.
Right.
That's the win. Those little victories are actually a better win than that great big one. We have very few that are the $250,000, $500,000 victories and convictions. It's the little wins.
But are you trying to help the employer get the employee back to work? Because the longer that they're out of, they're not working, right? We're paying them basically
right.
at that time. So how much of it is getting people back to work, and how much of it is let's catch somebody red-handed so that we can give them a slap on the hand?
You know, I try to tell employers not to get emotionally vested in their claims. Don't go out and do their own surveillance. And, you know, just realize, have a return to work program for your employees so that you can bring them back. And I say this with a smile. Yes, I'm trying to bring them back to on the road to recovery.
Right.
Because I think if the adjusters take an aggressive stance and start asking very hard questions, that person is going to do multiple things. One, they're going to get an attorney. Two, they're going to come back to work. Because they go, oh, wow. Hey, how was your weekend last week in Pismo Beach? I know you showed up Monday morning with a left knee injury, but I saw you flipped a dune buggy or on Saturday. Did you actually get hurt Saturday? Or did you get hurt Monday morning when you showed up for work? Oh, you know what? Now that I think about
it,
yeah.
You're kind of keeping them honest a little bit, yeah.
I mean, our very first case, which was interesting, and it kind of ties in a little bit with what Ed's going to be talking about here maybe. We had a case. So we're nationwide. So, but we're doing this case for an auto distributor. And the woman was fired from work, and they had us do one of their backgrounds. She had filed articles of incorporation to be an S corp. Now I don't say S corp.
Right, S corp.
S corp.
Right. So so somebody who goes out on dates with people.
Yes.
Okay. Is that what an S corp? I don't even know what an S corp is.
Well, you know, we'll
describe
we'll,
that.
We'll, yeah, yeah. No, I'll take the
hey,
fifth.
AM radio.
Hey, I did
okay,
serve in
so
the Marine Corps, but yeah.
You have to file a. I thought that I didn't realize an S corp was that's a legitimate occupation then.
No, I don't think so. I
mean, she filed some kind of
but
papers.
But somebody told her along the line to file articles of incorporation
okay.
as an LLC.
Oh, gotcha.
And,
okay.
When this information
some licensing or something. Okay.
When this
and she was previously employed with someone else, and this was kind of a
okay.
Side
so she she decides to go above board at a certain level and file papers to become an LLC. Okay.
I guess so.
Yeah.
She had a website.
Okay.
You know, it was interesting. But they presented that to her at Depot. You see, she never told anybody she had a side business.
Okay.
Maybe she got injured while performing escort duties that wasn't related to her work at an auto parts distributor store.
Yeah, you think about the different kinds of positions you might put yourself into. Yes.
Correct, yes. And so she settled that claim for a couple $1,000s.
Wow.
But it's because somebody asked the question.
That's
somebody
one of your proudest moments, isn't it, Chris?
No, I've got some pretty... My family's my proudest moment, but yeah.
All right, so are you guys both family guys? You guys have been friends since you were little kids.
Yes.
So we sort of wonder, like Family Guys, one of the things that happens with business partners that I see is sometimes the goals aren't aligned. So in other words, one guy's building a family potentially, and then another may have different kinds of goals.
Well, I tell you what, I'm a veteran of many entrepreneurial endeavors, and I've had many partners, and sometimes... it's worked out, and a lot of the times it doesn't. Partners can be very tricky. I don't know whether it was because Chris and I have known each other for a long time or whatever it is, but we seem to, both our skill sets seem to match each other very well. So the things he's good at, I'm maybe a little weaker at, and the things I'm good at, he's working on and a work in progress.
You guys carve out like a clear line of delineation as who does what,
we do.
So you don't have to like bump up against each other too hard.
We do, and we both have been pretty good at checking our egos. We're both trying to learn from each other. So some of my weak areas, Chris has been really helpful with.
And what are you weak at? You don't seem like a guy that's super weak. You got all these entrepreneural ventures. What are you weak at?
I'm probably weak at this. Doing right now. So,
okay. I'll take issue with that one.
But just some of the areas, Chris is probably, I'm a little more cautious. Chris is a little more former Marine, go out and take the hill. So yeah. We kind of complement each other well in that regard.
Yeah, Chris, I mean, obviously my son is a Marine, you are a Marine. Do you think Marines make good entrepreneurs?
Yes.
Why?
We do. And notice I said we do, because we're all Marines, us former Marines. And just because I do have a Global War on Terrorism challenge coin I'd like to present to you.
Wow.
For your son and for you.
Thank you.
I served during the first Gulf War, and then I reenlisted for the second after 9/11. I did 6 years with the Army and 8 years with the Marines. I think a lot of what we learn as NCOs in the military, one of the simplest things, and I can tell any entrepreneur, is KISS. Have you ever heard of KISS?
Yeah, keep it simple.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
We have not changed our product in the 3 years that we've been in business. We keep it simple, easy to read, it flows, we take out all the fluff. So that the adjusters, our end user doesn't get bogged down in the minutia of it. We also have a plan. I think before we execute any operation, any plan, we talk about it,
and we
talk about it a lot, and then we run a test just like I would in the military. You run a few exercises, you train like you would fight. So we test it out before we introduce it to our staff. So, and then we're still running tests, and we're practicing. But I do believe that as a Marine sergeant, a lot of what I learned in the military helps me as an entrepreneur. Now, I didn't have the business savvy that he does. I had the sales, I had the contacts, I had the book of business, and I had the ability to get out and talk to people. Mm-hmm. But I never ran a company. I didn't know the first thing about opening a company.
Well, think about that culture. So Chris is obviously bringing this military background, this mindset. I have to imagine that, runs throughout the organization, or at least throughout this business. Is that the same culture you ran in your other businesses?
I try to, because I've always been kind of a military historian, and I enjoy, even though I never served in the military, I'm a huge fan of the military, and I believe that I'm kind of a process and structure guy, and so because very easily the way Chris is with that background, if I had a different sort of mindset kind of lax and freewheeling, it probably wouldn't have worked. But we both jive when it comes to...
Well, the process. You have to have a process.
Having processes.
Yeah. Do you feel like there's certain, you know, you think about, you hear all this talk about the millennials, right? We got Brian back here. My son's a millennial as well. But there, you sort of hear this talk about like the old school mentality, which is almost what you're, you know, that's my words. But thinking about who fits well into a culture like what you're building, because, you know, you're doing business all over the country. And if you're running it, you know, very militaristic,
Okay. Well, I know where you're going.
You know what I mean? But it's a very structured environment.
You have to find the right people for the right jobs.
Are these guys police officers?
No.
Or who,
actually,
who fits?
The people that we have are college kids, the millennials that you talk about, because they know social media. They know all the new facets of what's coming out. I'm still on Facebook, okay? But now I understand Snapchat, you know, Instagram. I'm still learning all this stuff. But our employees do. Our people get that part of it where he can run the business. He's the operations guy. I'm the sales guy. But you put the right people in the right places. And that's the critical part, is learn what everybody's strengths and weaknesses are. And you learn that from the military. You know, you don't put the little guy on the 60 caliber machine gun to carry up the hill. You give the big guy that, because he can carry that. The little guy can carry something else. But you all work together as a cohesive unit. And
so where's the business at today? So you've obviously started about 4 years ago. It's grown. You're somehow nationwide that quickly. That comes with, in my book, that comes with a strong sales effort. But your customers are obviously loving what you're doing. You're solving a problem. But I mean, what's where are you at today? And what's the vision? Where are you going to take this thing? Ashton, you want to start with that one?
God, I don't know. We're just happy to be kind of where we're at the moment. But we're looking to grow, continue to grow nationwide and have some nationwide clients. We have a few nationwide.
We have a few nation accounts, yeah.
And we're focused on increasing those.
We call it a campaign. So when we bring on a new account, and like you said, we want to start a campaign so that every Monday we get one client, every Monday they send us about 40 cases that came in the week before.
Okay.
They give us 5 days to turn those around for a fraction of the price of what our competitors are doing. We're a market disruptor because we're charging so little compared to what our competitors are charging so much for. And we do it quickly. We do it within 1 to 2 days.
So what's it cost if I were to, like a small business guy, you know, we have, I got one of my companies got like 60 employees, another one's 25, 30, you know, we're kind of a small, medium sized business, I suppose. So what's it cost? Could I get, what would be like the introductory rate?
My question to you would be, how many claims do you have? And if you
we have hardly any claims.
That's the problem. See, you're not our niche market because you don't have a lot of claims.
You mean like more like a construction company who's an ideal client?
One of ours is, McDonald's, 522 owner-operator stores throughout the state of California.
Gotcha.
That's our niche. Staffing agencies, warehouse workers. I mean, look, I'm not going to turn down business. I think any business owner will tell you that. I'll take the business, but...
Garbage companies.
Yeah.
Things like that.
The ones that have a high turnover employees, a lot of seasonal workers, a lot of labor force that are always coming, going out and getting hurt. That's our niche market.
Okay.
But it's $150. And it's a 24-hour turnaround time.
$150.
That's it. Flat rate. $150. Some days a diamond, some days a gold. Stone. Did I say that right? Coal.
$150. You'll go out and do give me back a report that says, here's what we know about him on social media.
Yep.
Here's what we know about her out partying and putting stuff on. And you can get stuff off Snapchat.
Yeah, well, if it's there. I think Snapchat's like 24 hours.
It's a little trickier.
Okay, so closing thoughts. You know, we only have a minute left, but maybe you guys can kind of share closing thoughts to the next one in line. I mean, you've got this business partner story that's working, and you also have, I think, this problem that you're solving that really affects us small businesses, us entrepreneurs. So maybe take that either way. I mean, advice to entrepreneurs who have this, you know, problem with workers' comp, and then maybe another one on, maybe come from you, Ashton, about business partners, advice to choosing the right business partner.
You know, the thing with business partners is that there is a definite leap of faith. You could jump into business with somebody, and when... push comes to shove and the bullet starts flying, you hope you have a partner that's going to stay and fight with you and not run for the hills. Or it's also important, I think, when you have a partner that will own their part of it. If they make a mistake, they're going to own it. And if I make a mistake, I'll own it. And rather than two guys blaming each other for everything as the ship sinks. I don't know. That's really important. But at the end of the day, you never know until you're actually get the ball rolling. And it's all great until it's not.
Until you get punched in the mouth. Yeah.
You know, my advice would be don't be afraid to take chances. You know, for the first few months when we started the company, I quit my old job. I drove Uber for a while. I sold my classic Jeep that I had to have some revenue coming in to keep the wolves off the porch, so to speak, keep the wife happy. You know, but be honest with yourself and your capabilities. Find somebody that you trust and that you can work with. But mainly don't be afraid to take chances. And when it comes down to employers, make the right hiring decisions. You know, do your due diligence on your employees. Have a return to work program so they don't want to stay at home and, you know, bleed you dry. You know, have opportunities for them to come back and be a productive member. And I think somebody once said, what is it? Treat your employees well enough that they'll never leave, but teach them well enough so that they can go on and start their own companies.
Wow. Chris Champlin, Ashton Wolfson, thank you for joining me on the show. You're C&W Group, and you're helping fix this problem that us as employers have when it comes to keeping our employees honest. And some of us don't have as big of a problem. Luckily, Haiti Biz, my team hasn't hurt me too bad in this issue. But you know what? I applaud you.
Well, and thank you for what you do for us veterans. Though Semper Fi, we appreciate it. I saw a lot of what you do down there, and it means a lot. So, hoorah.
Thank you very much, Chris. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.